Listening to Heart of Mind Radio over the Progressive Radio Network. I'm Catherine Davis, and today my guest is Deirdre Haidt, and she is a mystic, spiritual teacher, master healer, and visionary leader in the ancient arts of the wisdom traditions. She is co-author of the book, The Not-So-Little Book of Surprises. And since her early years in Memphis, Tennessee, Deirdre has been an artist and visionary writing poetry and conversing with the mystical worlds. As a ballet dancer and choreographer recognized by Robert Joffrey, she performed through the country and founded the dance ensemble Celebration to the Sacred. At 16, her mother diagnosed with terminal breast cancer, Deirdre discovered the healing power of light, enabling her mother to live 13 years longer than expected. And she's the founder of Radiance Healing and Meditation. And she has been guiding people worldwide, teaching them to harness their own inner wisdom and healing potential. And she's currently working on her own life, a story of her life as a modern-day mystic. But I have to say how much I really enjoyed her book that's out right now, The Not-So-Little Book of Surprises. I want to say hello and welcome, Deirdre.
Thank you, Catherine. It's just lovely to be here with you.
Yes, it's very lovely to have you. And I was able to enjoy a very special occasion a few weeks ago in which you did a reading from your book. So I definitely want to get into the book itself because it itself to me is a meditation, the experience of it, the insights, the photography, the way it's laid out. It's really quite a beautiful experience, I would say, more than just a book. But I'd love to talk to you first about the idea of being a modern-day mystic and a healer. What does that really mean?
Well, what that means is that a mystic is somebody who is aware, converses with, in touch with a greater reality. That means not just the reality that we see with our senses, but beyond even the intuition, but this real understanding that there is something so much greater. There is this awe of this vast presence that is watching over us, is caring for us, guiding us. And I said modern day because I get the sense that people think that there were these great mystics way back when in ancient times. And in nowadays world, we think that that kind of was then. And what I want to say to people is, no, you can be a person today, living today, being part of today's world, and yet have this this connection that ties with a very ancient tradition. So that's why I came up with that, because my hope is other people would say, oh, you know, maybe I'm like that too.
Yeah, you know, I was just thinking that it almost is a signature of our times that we have to get in contact with this part of our being, the invisible part, the invisible world, in order to even be able to negotiate our current era, because things have changed a great deal. And people are not really happy with their lives as they might have been 10, 20, 30 years ago. It's not enough to just have things and, you know, work on reputations and all that stuff. People seem to really be seeking something much deeper. And I'd love for you to give us your insights on that.
Yes, absolutely. We are in an age of a great shift. We're seeing this, of course, in the outer world with the political environment, with the parts of humanity that are showing its face. It's not so kind and not very caring. What's happening is that in a shift of consciousness that the human family is going through, the places in ourself, the rigidity, the ego, the separation, it's like the dinosaur's like final gasp. It's really coming up because there's an undercurrent of an energy birthing, and that energy birthing is our awakening. In the book, I have a passage that was given to me by the All That Is. This is the darkness serves the light when you're conscious. The darkness is just darkness when you're unconscious. And that's really what we're living in today. That is right there it, meaning the darkness that we're experiencing, if we can be awake, it will force us to wake up. It will force us to expand ourselves and say, this limited reality is not enough. I need more. I need to fill myself with the spirit. But if we're unconscious, it will just be a circle of darkness. It won't take us anywhere. So what I want to say is, let's use this time to take us somewhere. Let's not waste it.
I agree. I totally that. Well, you are right about the political scene being appearing very, very negative and toxic. But the other side of what you're saying is also true, because I've not seen activism from, you know, everyday regular people, housewives and teachers and auto mechanics. And people are getting really involved and paying attention to what's happening around them in a way that I've actually never witnessed before.
Yes, and that is the light. That is using the darkness for awakening. And as we become active, as people engage in our democracy and say, I want to have a voice, you know, that's how democracy will survive. That's how we will grow. If people don't, we could lose democracy. The democracy is a fairly recent experiment, and it's rather new when you look at history. And so it's fragile. It's a fragile concept, but it is a very important concept, and it is an enlightened concept. So I hope we make it. I have a good feeling we will.
Yeah, I think we will. We may not see the best of it in our generation, but I think as many of the younger people are growing up in an environment of wakefulness, that the earth will change into a very positive and constructive, at least in balance compared to what it's been. And speaking of children, you know, waking up to this reality. I know that you were aware of some of your abilities as a young child, and I know that the world doesn't really support this in children. I'm wondering if you could speak to what it was like for you to be a child that had visions or received insights, and maybe a little advice you might want to give to parents of today who have children that might seem strange but are actually manifesting these gifts.
Oh, yes, absolutely. Thank you. When I was very young, I didn't think, oh, this is different than anyone else. This was my reality, my experience, and it was reality. I mean, it wasn't strange. It wasn't odd. It was, that's what reality was. Mm-hmm. Was that there were other worlds. That there, it was magical. It was mystical. There was this wonder, and you know, all children have that. All children have that experience, but we're conditioned to forget it. I didn't forget it. I kept that wide open. And a lot of that is because of my mother, who is very supportive and really believed me, really was very supportive. And so what I could say to people who have children who might tell you about a former life that they were in, they might say, oh, you were visited by an angel or a grandmother, or they have unseen friends. What I would say is to say to them, encourage them and listen and say, oh, thank you for sharing that with me. That means a lot. I may not see that, but I'm so glad. Acknowledge what they can see, because then they can grow up and they can feel good about it and not have to put, what I say is that we take that place of ourselves and we put it in our shadow, and it becomes our bright shadow. So that the place in us that is more aware really is in our shadow. We've separated from it. So by encouraging your children to speak and then not and giving them value for it, hopefully they won't take that gift and put it in their shadow. They'll grow up with it open. When so as I got older, about 8 years old, I started an angel school, the after-school angel school, and to teach my friends, because my friends did not talk to angels in the morning like I did. And that I thought was odd. So I decided, well, it's my job to teach them. I started the school. And after a while, I had to close the school because, as I wrote in my journal, I have a journal, and I wrote in it, and in the last page, I said, "School, Angel School closed. They're not ready yet." With exclamation point in red crayon.
Oh, wow. So you really were ahead of your time.
I think so.
So as part of your journey, you also became a healer, an energy healer, a healer using light radiance. Can you speak about that journey of how you became a healer and how you work with people to help them on their journey?
Yes, I was when my mother was, when I was 16, it's actually the latter part of 15, but she was diagnosed with terminal breast cancer, and of course this was devastating. And back then they just did a radical mastectomy and they sent you home. There was no care. It was really brutal, very barbaric. She came home very depressed, and the chemo was rough, the radiation was rough, and that was just to, you know, help her live a little longer. So one night when I was sitting with her, I wasn't really in prayer. She was meditating. I didn't come from a religious family. at all. My family were scientists, really agnostic, or my father was probably an atheist. But I always had this deep sense, this connection with all it is and the unseen world. But I was sitting with my mother, and I was just talking to God and saying how much I wanted my mother to get better. And when I, after a while, this light came into the room, and the light filled the room, and we both saw it. There was no origin of the light. The room was just lit up. And I was running around looking to say what light bulb was on, and it wasn't. And then we both felt this warmth, this very powerful warmth. And then my mother said that she wasn't in pain anymore. And this continued to happen. And she lived 13 years longer than they said she could live. The doctor, really towards the end of her life, said, there's no reason for your mother to be alive. We don't get it. It shouldn't be happening. And then when she wanted to leave, when she said it was time to leave, I said, okay, well, now we'll pray for that. And she did. And when she passed over, again, the room filled with light, and I saw her spirit leave her body. I mean, I saw it with my own eyes. It was a very beautiful experience. I feel very blessed to have had that.
Well, that is very, very special. I can relate to what you're saying. I didn't have that quiet experience, but my mother had multiple sclerosis, and I feel that spirit and the integration of spirit had a big impact on her life as well. And so let's move into your actual work with people, because my understanding is that you help people, of course, if they come to you with ailments, you can help them with that, but also you're helping people to come into contact with their own divinity. Can you speak of that spectrum of work that you do with people?
Yes. That's really my most important service is to really ignite your soul to remember the light and to know the light that's in you, and then to fill yourself with more light. The soul's food is light, and light is divine love. It's the internal, invisible light that supports us and sustains us, gives us life. We can't see it, but we can feel it. That's what I call radiance, because radiant energy is an energy like the sun that it has its own source, and there's a heat or a warmth that's given off from it. And that's the way we are. And when we are in radiance, we give off this field of love, and this field of love is healing. All healing happens in the soul. Sometimes the body is not meant to heal, and that can be a difficult concept to swallow. But sometimes there are lessons, there are meanings that we are supposed to gain, and we may not fully heal. Like my mother's cancer went into remission, but she was never cured of cancer. But she lived with it. She was healthy. She did her everyday things she liked to do. Wasn't towards the very, very end that she was bedridden. So, but even though she had the cancer, she told me right before she passed away, she said, "Don't hate the cancer. It was my greatest teacher." So healing is a spiritual healing. And with it comes sometimes physical healing happens, and sometimes it doesn't. Sometimes we're meant to incorporate whatever pain we have. It's not that we're forced to suffer. It's that we are holding something in the universe that's necessary, that's beyond our comprehension of why. So it's about learning how to make peace with and living still in joy and happiness with whatever life has given us to experience.
I think that's an important perspective for people to understand, that really what healing means, that it really is about that deeper part of ourselves. And I also believe that healing in the body can also take place, but
yes.
I agree with you that it does start at that deeper level. So in the work that you do, you use crystals, you use hands-on healing. What do people experience when they work with you?
I don't touch anybody. I just use my hands at about 10 inches away from the body. And I call in the energy to flow into a person. When I first started giving healing sessions, you know, God told me to pray as if every person was my own child. They were my baby. And to pray over them. And that's really what I started. That's right where I started, in deep, deep prayer. I was then instructed to use the crystals of the Tree of Life. The Tree of Life is it's an ancient knowledge of energy, like the chakras, or in Eastern medicine, we have the meridians. The Tree of Life includes the chakras. It goes all the way back, can be found in reliefs in Sumer and Egypt. These energy points on your body, you use a crystal to help activate this place in you that helps with healing. And again, healing is having that spiritual experience. Now when I work with groups of people, like you came to our event in New York, and thank you so much. At the end, we did a healing, and I played the crystal healing bowls. So it's a joy to be in that presence together. So I love to share it.
So true. And also, I feel that your book is, in a way, is kind of a healing tool. You know, people can use it in their own journey. Can you give us a little sense of what motivated you to work on this book and how you really view it for people who might want to really check it out and maybe get a copy?
Yes, absolutely. The book... we have a joke around my household that the book took 10 years and 3 months to make. I've been teaching and giving these words of wisdom and understanding from life, from my years and years of study in the ancient mystical traditions, information I've received in my meditation, and messages I've received from the archangels, ascended masters. The ascended masters, I think the best way to put it is that it's a new word for an old word, which is like a saint. And I've been sharing this with people, teaching this, leading people on journeys to reconnect with their soul and with all that is. And I'm writing all this. So we put all this together in books, transcriptions, and we have about 12 volumes. And that's the 10 years part. It's probably a little longer. And my husband, Will, made what the bleep do know, approached me about taking some of the words out of these volumes, and then some of my poetry. And he said, let's make a book. And I said, great, I would love that. So that's what happened. And he put it together, and then I edited it. We took some things out. I put some other things in. And the book was really made to take you on a journey. From beginning to end, it's only an hour and a half read. Some people like to just read one page and meditate on it, and others like to go through the whole book and then put it down, and then maybe one page at a time go back. It's a book that you can, it is an oracle book. You can open it up to any page and put your finger down, and there'll be a sentence for you. There'll be a sentence that will give you an answer to a very important question you have. It is a journey. This energy, there's an energy in the book that's embodied in the words and the beautiful photography of Indri Balog, who collaborated with me. It's a magical book. I wish I could take full credit for it. I can't. The unseen friends, our guides from the other side, really come through this book. And I believe they're the ones that whispered in my husband's ear and said, put this book together.
Mm-hmm. Well, it is a collaboration, that much is true. And it's a beautiful book with insights, as well as you said, the photography seems inspired. And it can, yes. And people can really enjoy the pictures, because I would say that, you know, it's photography, but it's art. I view it really as art, because some of them are, you know, composites and, you know, different kinds of images. So I think that people can really relate to them. I could even envision you making a card series or something out of these. Mm-hmm. Sites and pictures that people could really use to give some context to what's happening them in their lives. And So also what's interesting in your book and also at the event is this theme of honey. What is the meaning of this, of honey as part of the symbol of this work?
Yes, thank you so much. So the main, the poem that you get, that I read in New York is called In the Honey Jars. And it is a poem that really was dictated to me. And it's about the journey of our soul. It's a conversation. It's really our soul speaking. That's what this poem is. And the honey represents the divine light that gives us life. The light, because the light is golden, it's the light of the sun that gives us life. It's the life of the Shakti or the Shekinah from Earth that gives us life. It's the divine presence. And the jars represent us. So in the beginning of the poem, I talk about the jars being empty, like we're ghosts. These jars are ghosts. And by the end, at the end of the poem, the jars are filled, miraculously filled with honey. And that's healing. That is really what we're here for. We're here to learn how to be full of divine presence. And when we're not, we feel lost. And when we're not, we become angry and we harm each other. When we're full of the divine light, we're loving and we're kind. So the first step to our healing is to reconnect and fill ourselves with the divine substance. Because that's what we've forgotten how to do. But it's as important to our welfare as it is to eat. If we don't eat, we die. It's as important as breathing. If we don't breathe, we'll die. But we are not ingesting spiritual energy. And we're dying because of it. And that's what we have to relearn how to do. And that's what I teach. That's what I share.
Well, yeah, and I can see that because that's really also, as you were speaking earlier, the source of that healing, of that coming to understand who we are on that deep level. And for people who maybe are looking for a little bit more expansive on that idea, and you do speak about the soul and the radiance of the soul and this understanding of honey as the divine radiance coming into our body. But for the person who's sitting at work, you know, maybe sitting at their typewriter or, you know, preparing to go to some meeting, dealing with really kind of the everyday things that stress us out, whatever they might be, how can people begin to weave this understanding into their being on an everyday basis?
Yes, and that really is what it's about. It's about being able to bring this experience into our everyday life. I even have a picture in the not-so-little book of surprises of a woman in a grocery store in the middle of a Tonka that you can expect miracles anywhere, you know, even in a grocery store. So one thing that you can do that is really helpful when you're at work or if you're in a situation, if you're driving, you want to pull over, is to take just a moment, a few minutes, and close your eyes and watch your breath. You can try that right now. Or you just simply watch your breath and imagine that you are sitting on top of your forehead. So your mind's eye is right on top of your forehead and you're just looking down. And watching that breath. And as you watch that breath, I want you to imagine that in the center of your heart is a tiny sun, a golden orb of light. And now, with every breath, that tiny sun begins to grow. And that tiny sun now becomes larger and larger until your whole heart is so filled and so warm. And now with your imagination, imagine that the sun is just floating downward, dropping down through your body until it rests in a beautiful golden bowl, like a chalice, right at your pelvis. And this golden orb now just rests in this chalice, this crescent. And now begin to breathe from this golden orb. It's resting deep in your belly so that every breath originates with this orb of light. And in every exhale, this light expands and expands. And as this light expands, it fills your organs, your torso, and now your shoulders and your arms, your legs and feet, up into your head until you're inside of this beautiful sun, this warm, shimmering light. And now that you are in your radiance, ask the presence to give you clarity, to give you a direction, to give you a piece of wisdom to guide you in your meeting with your family. And then just we say thank you. Nice deep breath. Let that go and open our eyes. Now you can do this at any time. And it's what I call setting the reset button so that you come back into your true self. Because what happens is in life, all the distraction, the busyness, the mundane things that we have to do in life, they take us out of our sense of ourselves. And it's important to just keep reconnecting, reconnecting, reconnecting. And in that way, we will have a more joyful and happy life and a life of wisdom.
Absolutely. Thank you very much for that. And I would like also for you to speak to this idea of people really beginning to make space in their lives for this spiritual journey. And from my perspective, it doesn't really matter what a person's economic standing is. A person could be, you know, a laborer or, you know, a taxi cab driver, or a person could be a movie star or an astronaut. It doesn't really matter so much what they're doing in their everyday lives, but everyone has this need to find that space and maybe speak to how much attention really needs to be given to this in the context of our day or of our life in general.
Yes, absolutely. The spirit is equal, and we are all equal in the spirit. What we have or our monetary status, it doesn't make any difference to the presence of God. This is our true leveling factor. And really, all it takes is 20 minutes a day. I mean, if you could realistically do 5 minutes in the morning, 5 minutes in the middle of the day, 5 minutes at the end of the day, 5 minutes before you go to bed, if you could do 20 minutes once a day, that would help your life enormously. Because what happens is when we connect spiritually, we tap into a great reservoir of energy. And this energy is like gasoline for a car. And as we get older and as we go through life, we get like knocks. This energy begins to taper off. It's not that it's not there. It's just we don't know how to refill ourselves with it. And so when we spend that time doing the meditation I gave you, you refill yourself with that spirituality, that connection, and with that energy. And I just would like to offer, Catherine, to anyone who is interested, if you come to my website, I have a free meditation. I have a lot of information to help you set up a practice. And this practice is a practice you can do with whatever your background is, whatever your religion is. It's just a practice of the presence of that divine love. And my website is DeirdreHead.com.
And spell that.
DeirdreHeade. If you spell it wrong, don't worry. But you'll find lots more there. And give me a call, email me, I'll answer any questions.
That's excellent. And I'm sure that many people will. I went to your website myself and saw that you have a link right into the book as well, the Not So Little
Yes.
Book of Surprises. And people
Yes.
can follow that link and find out more about the book. And there's even this sweet little section I linked on somewhere where people can like sort of turn the pages and see a few of the pages and the photographs and really just
Yes.
see how beautiful it all is. So I do recommend that everyone at least goes in and takes a look, because the website is really very beautifully designed and has a lot of information. I also wanted to ask you a little bit more about your Foundation for Radiance. You know, it's a nonprofit, as I understand it. How did that come into being, and what is the work of the foundation?
So thank you so much for asking. Yes, the Foundation for Radiance was created to help those in need from any socioeconomic background, anyone suffering from trauma, injury, to help them by giving them the tools of light. And what we've done is not only helping monetarily with different organizations like the Women's Prison Association in New York and the Nuveo and Anser Women's Organization in East Los Angeles that helps women get out of abusive relationships and sexual slavery. Those are just two of the organizations we support. But we also come in and give healings, workshops, teach the people how to use these tools, just like we did a meditation here to help them heal, help their life. I started my foundation about 10 years ago, and it just came to me in a vision because so many people were coming to me who needed help, and not everyone could afford to do this. So I said, well, we need just to set up a nonprofit so we can really be of service with the gift and the radiance. And that's why I started it.
Lovely. Well, it really is important. So I do appreciate that you are giving this time to be of service to the community. And I would imagine that you have experienced in your own life different situations where, you know, it really made a difference to have a friend or a family member or someone to turn to for help and guidance. And it's, if we can weave that into our lives, I think it's a significant thing to do.
Absolutely. It really is about that connection between our friends, our close friends, our family. That intimacy is, well, we can't survive without it. And we need to learn how to cultivate it. Relationship.
Yeah, that makes all the difference, doesn't it? And I actually find that by connecting to that source energy, as you've been referring to it, you know, the sun, the inner sun, the golden honey, this connection to that much deeper part of ourself, the more we can realize that this is who is in the core of everyone else, whatever the situation
yes.
might look like. If we can hold on to that realization, it really does change almost every situation, I have found.
It changes every situation, and there's not one situation that it won't change. And Catherine, the reason is that when you are fully aware of your divinity and your light, of who you really are, this emanation of divine love, when that happens and you go to speak to somebody, their soul, which is not activated, which is there but is in exile from the personality, their soul will recognize your awakened state, will recognize your soul, and that will open the gate for that person you're talking to. And you don't have to say anything about your spiritual experience. It's all energy. And one thing that's so important to know is that we're always communicating with each other. We're always communicating with the plants and the animals. We just are asleep to it. We don't know we're communicating and we don't know what we're saying. Awakening is we know what we're saying. We're aware of that deeper communication, that other language, the language of our soul. So when you are in touch with your soul, other soul people, their souls will go, oh, yay, this soul sees me.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll be healing. That's what healing is.
So true, so true. And as we work on this, it helps us to heal our society as well. And, you know, it's, to me, it's the most important path, because I think everybody wants to be fulfilled in life and to be able to manifest abundance. You know, there are many programs that focus on that. But I really, from my personal perspective, it's that inner soul journey and the bringing forth of that wisdom into our living experience, to me, is the whole point of being alive. So,
yes, it is the whole point. And, you know, in regards to abundance, we, especially in the West, we are really attached to the concept of abundance. And it's a big spiritual selling point. I just want to say that if you could get beyond desiring abundance and simply desire to be connected and deeply filled with the spirit, all abundance will come. It's like when we put our attention, we have a whole list of intentions now. We've been learning the past 20 years. When we put our faith on that, these intentions, like I want abundance, I want prosperity, I want to manifest this, that's all fine. However, because of where we are going as a human family, God will continue to push us until we go deeper. And so all I'm saying is, if you can just go straight to having this practice of desiring connection with the all that is, with the presence, with God, whatever word you want to use, this true experience of yourself being this divine light of this great love, all that comes, like all that comes with it. It's the gravy. But we forget to, you know, put the mashed potatoes on the plate. So that's all I want to say about that.
Yeah, this is so true. Well, you know, it's really wonderful speaking to you. We're just about the end of this segment. Could you just, you know, leave the people with some thoughts about your book, The Not-So-Little Book of Surprises, and what do you want them to take from this? And then again, we'll give out the website so people who want to actually read the book.
Yes, thank you. I want you to have an enjoyable and pleasurable experience with a book. The Not So Little Book of Surprises is a coffee table size book. We did this because of the incredible photography on the images of Andrea Balog, and each of these images an activation. I mean, it's a sensory experience. You know, my hope is that the words that you read inspire you. They fill you with this divine light I've been speaking about, and that you find hope and answers for your life. And that's really why we made the book. So that's what I hope you have an experience of.
Cool. Yeah. All right, and again, people can find this information, go to the website, Deidre's website, and what is that website again?
It's DeirdreHay.com, and you can also go directly to my Not So Little Book of Surprises page. We talk all about the book, and that's bookofsurprises.com.
Okay. Thank you very, very much. I so enjoyed speaking with you today. Our guest has been Deidre Haid, a mystic spiritual teacher, master healer, and visionary leader in the ancient arts of the wisdom traditions. And she is co-author of the book, The Not-So-Little Book of Surprises. And for those of you who want to learn more, you can go to the archive page, Heart of Mind Radio, on the Progressive Radio Network, PRN.FM, and you'll find the links to Deidre's website and as well as her Facebook. However you want to make your connection, I encourage you to do that. Thank you very much, Deidre. We're going to take a brief break to hear a piece of music, and we'll be right back with a few wrap-up announcements. So stay tuned. We're going to hear Dreaming Wide Awake by Liz Wright. Listening to Heart of Mind Radio, and this is the Progressive Radio Network, PRN.FM. I'm Catherine Davis, and we had a beautiful guest in our first segment. We spoke with Deidre Haidt and spoke about her book, The Not So Little Book of Surprises. And we are moving through our life during a time when it seems to be full of surprises. We never really know how the politics will turn. We never can say for sure how we're going to make it, make ends meet, get from one day to the next, go through the whatever the mechanism of our day might be. And I feel and have experienced through my life that this spiritual journey has been one of such fulfillment and flowering and coming to understand what it means to live with a peaceful existence. So that means there's peace on the inside. So even as I walk through, journey through life, have engagement with people, positive most of the time, sometimes not, stressful some of the times, but not always. But I have found that for me, the real joy, the real peace, the real fulfillment is in that inner quiet space. And I really want to encourage all of you to really begin to make that space, however you want to do it. The book we spoke about today is a nice little book. It can serve as a meditation, the pictures, the poetry. You can begin to create your own book, you know, your own little dream book, your own little journal book, so that you can begin to have a more personal inspiration, giving yourself that time to dedicate to this part of your journey, to the part of your existence that is really where we find the healing and where we find the wisdom and where we can connect so that our physical expression is living with a sense of purpose and fulfillment. And as much as I do enjoy bringing you guests such as we did today, I also want to encourage you to understand that we each have this spark and this sparkle flowing through our own body, shining from our eyes. And it's the essence of you that people really do fall in love with, that come to understand and identify as you, the I Am Presence. And as we are radiating that presence in the world, it's also important for us to open into that radiance as it exists within our physical reality, because it is an energetic reality that is very tangibly felt. It's something that you can feel an expression of love and comfort, and you can feel an expression of release and relaxation. And when we can open up our capacity, our mental awareness capacity, to really make this deep connection, then it becomes all the more powerful and all the more real in our everyday existence, so that we can live and be and have a wonderful, wonderful life experience despite whatever is going on in the world around us. So do make that time for yourself. It's important. I also am inviting you, for those who would like to join me for a weekly meditation and movement class, a series for body wellness and stress reduction. It works to restore your vitality, lubricate your joints, and stretch your muscles. It helps to ease your mind, let go of body tension, and awaken a natural state of inner peace. So that's Saturdays, 2:30 p.m. at Studio Maya in Brooklyn. You can find out more by going to Catherine.1, QigongOnline.net. You can email heartofmindradio@gmail.com or check the archive page for Heart of Mind Radio on PRN.fm. Thank you and have a good week. Stay tuned for more great programming over the Progressive Radio Network.